Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Casey Hilty. Casey is on the show talking about how to pass on a legacy of faith to the next generation. The Word of God would have been extinguished thousands of years ago if not for parents passing faith down to their children. Her children arise and call her blessed from Proverbs 31:28 is the legacy of a mother who has put Christ in the center of her heart and home and who has led her children to fall in love with Him. Casey Hilty has written Her Children Arise, and she's on the show sharing stories of biblical moms who remind us that the home is and has always been a mission field for mothers to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in the throes of sleepless nights, toddler tantrums, and the challenging teen years, we can find our joy and purpose through guiding our children to see the heart of God. The secret is that it's less about family devotions and more about our devotion to Jesus. Hi, Casey, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
It's so good to see you, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
So we're chatting about how our homes are and have always been a mission field for mothers to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we begin, I'd love to hear what your home was like, what your home life was like growing up.
I didn't grow up in a Christian household. My parents, I had a wonderful child upbringing, and we were the holiday Christians. We would go for Easter, and we would just go for special events to a local church, but we were never part of a church community. And we were, to me, Jesus was on the same playing field as Santa Claus. Like, I didn't have this really good picture of who he is. And I didn't, I really didn't even know there was a way to have a personal connection with him. It was just like this, something we talked about around college sometimes. And so for me, when I was invited to youth group when I was a junior, I think in high school. And my parents were in full support of that, like, sure, absolutely. And so I started going there, and it was very quickly that I prayed for my salvation and I received Christ. And from there, my sister started coming to youth group. And eventually down the road, my mom gave her life to Christ as well. So though I didn't grow up in a Christian household, my mom always talked about how she prayed for me. And I don't think she truly understood who God is or had a true relationship with Christ until years, 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 years later. After I became a Christian, after I actually started writing my book, I then dug into my memoir that my great-grandmother had written and realized that she had been praying for me. She had been praying for her future generations. And I thought that I was a first-generation Christian, when in reality, it kind of skipped a generation for a little bit until my parents found their way. So it's, for me, when I became a mom, it became very important. Like, I don't know what it looks like to grow up in a Christ-centered home. What this look like? And I immediately jumped into a community to learn what does that look like. And I quickly learned it means digging into the Word of God. to grow in faith, to grow in Christ, and really discover Him for myself and build my relationship with Him. But that wasn't my reality growing up. So it's something that's been learned. I've had to learn what that looks like.
I'm excited to dive into what that looks like, because you are now the mother of three school-aged children. So how are you making your home your mission field?
So I feel like we can all have this picture on what our home should look like. Okay, daily devotionals with the family, sitting nice and neat around the dining room table. And we do this activity, and everybody just prays together. And it's such a peaceful experience. And in our experience, it has not been that. It is chaotic. And most times the kids are like, oh, did we have to? And or anything like that. So I would say, For us, we've done spurts. We don't do sit down and have a daily committed devotional. Especially right now, my kids are in three different places. It doesn't look like this, but when our kids were younger, there were lots of reading book together and doing little activities as a family. I think biggest thing that we've done has to been faithful to go to church and to be surrounded by a Christ-centered community. We have so many other adults that pour into our children besides us. That has been just incredible. Our small group, my kids feel comfortable going and talking to my small group members. And that's been the biggest thing. But really, truly, if you have parents who are modeling devoted prayer time and quiet time and setting forth that example, it doesn't necessarily have to be every day at this time we are sitting down and we are doing this, but we are, you know what, today's a really hard day. I'm going to God's word. I see that you're struggling today. Let's talk about this. Let's pray together. Hey, I messed up today. I don't like how I responded. I have in my own quiet time, I've repented for that. And I also want to come and apologize to you. For me, the parent, it's setting that example, because more is caught than taught. I don't have to sit down and have a scripted lesson. I had a friend one time, I was like, all right, I'm writing. What do y'all want me to write about? I'm talking to a group of friends. What do y'all need? What resource can I give you? And they were like, can we have a Sunday School for Dummies book for us? And I thought about that. And I offer a lot of different resources for parents on my website, and for free, and some in my shop. And while those are great, and like those are great resources and tools for parents to use, it really isn't needing that Sunday School for Dummies book. It really is digging into God's word for yourself, growing in your faith. And our kids see that. And not only do they see us reading God's word, but they see us living it out. I think that's the difference. If we're just going to read God's word and act a completely different way, if we're going to sit and have family devotionals and act a different way, if we're going to live a completely different lifestyle than scripture tells us we should live, our kids are going to be completely confused and completely turned off to the idea of who Jesus is. When in reality, we get to be the first ones to not only teach them who Jesus is by speaking his name, but we also get to be that representation of who he is by acting out his faith and living out his faith.
Lofty. It can be such a heavy weight. Do you ever feel that? Like it's such a privilege and it's such a responsibility and it's such an honor that God would allow us to do that for our children. But do you ever feel the weight of it?
Yeah, well, sometimes I think as parents, we can feel responsible. Like, if we do not do X, Y, Z, our kids will not know Jesus, and then they're going to go down this awful path. Now, we can do everything right. We can live out our faith. We can be as just really strong Christians, and our children are still going to make the mistakes. They're still going to sin. They're still going to walk away at some point. Like these things are going to happen, most likely going to happen. And I think that we put our pressure, if that does happen, it's our fault, when in actuality, it's their own personal walks with God. And it's not, it's God is in charge of salvation. We are not. And like that's, I hope parents understand that. I hope moms understand that we are not in charge. We cannot dictate our child's salvation. That is not left up to us. That is a holy role of Jesus that fortunately we do not get to. We can't check that off the list for them. So it can feel very weighty. It can feel like, oh my gosh, my kid just did this. I mean, we have teenagers right now. We're like, oh my gosh, we have taught them better, right? And that feels like a huge, huge, huge responsibility. But the thing is, we have taught them better. And they are currently doing a work within them, and Jesus is doing a work within their hearts so that they are learning their way. And so fortunately, it's like this twofold thing. Yes, it feels very weighty, but also like it's in God's hands. So that takes a lot of the, okay, like he has them. I'm going to continue praying for them. I'm going to continue guiding them. Everything else is in God's hands. The hard stuff.
Thank goodness. He
I
can
thank goodness too.
handle it. But you so let's kind of back up into and every season of motherhood. So you said yours are teenagers now, so mine are in middle school. But like backing up to like when our kids were babies, like sleepless nights, toddler tantrums, and even the challenging teen years. Like every season of motherhood has its own challenges. But how do you think we can find our joy and purpose through guiding our children to see the heart of God? Like, do you have any examples from your own life?
I think, okay, so Mary, every there are different milestones in Mary's what is chronicled in Mary's life that talk about storing or treasuring up the things that were said or done in regard to Jesus. Like Mary treasured the things that were said about Jesus. And I think we can have we see that. I think holding on to those things that we're treasuring when not letting their sin cloud the or make we just talked about the weightiness of it all, like not letting that impede our parenting. Like, oh my gosh, they're doing this, and then it becomes like this constant, and it can feel like that sometimes, like this constant discipline and stuff, and that's not fun. There's rarely joy found in that for me. But treasuring and storing up the God moments, and there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of them that we don't pay attention to, but being able to open our eyes to, you know what, like my teen just came and sat down next to me just to talk, or I saw he struggles a lot on the playing field, not getting very frustrated, and kind of, like he'll throw his football helmet down, but I just saw what happened on the field, and he didn't throw his football helmet down that time, knowing that he's growing in these ways and growing in truth and understanding, okay, that's not the way that I need to react. Those little things, but really it is, and I don't ever want this to become cliche, and I think it does become cliche because we talk about it so much, but it really is holding on to God's truths. It is digging into the Word of God, and what does God teach us? What is God speaking to us? And holding on to those things, that's where our true joy is going to come from. And that doesn't change in regard to parenthood. And so holding on to those, and God's going to give us these joyful moments of parenting, even in the really, really, really hard seasons where it feels like, okay, our kids are pulling away from us, or we're feeling disconnected from them. Like we're in a million different places right now. And that's a hard season in itself. In some ways, it's like, oh my goodness, we have one driving and it's such a huge help. And we have this free time and we're able to have these more adult fun conversations instead of these baby talk, all the time. I'm really enjoying the conversations we have. But then that can sometimes be clouded by hormones and really bad choices on their end after telling them this is not a good idea. And then they still continue to do that. And it's like, okay. And so I think finding that joy really is holding on to God's truths and constantly, constantly, constantly refocusing on that. And the more we go to God in prayer, the more we dig into His Word, the more we connect with Him, He's able to shift our perspective a lot. So we're not focusing in on the daily minutiae of parenting, but we're able to wrap ourselves in that joy that God has gifted us. And that, for me, that's not a natural thing. I don't feel like I naturally, yeah, I see moms on social media, they're like, oh my gosh, like parenting is like amazing, and it's like the most beautiful thing. And there are some days where I'm just like, no, like today was hard. It really, really wasn't fun today, you know? And I have to pull myself out of that. I have to go to God. I have to pray about that. I have to, all right, God, you need to shift my perspective here because I'm really not enjoying this moment at all. And so that's a daily struggle for me to find that joy. I only really find it when I am shifting my gaze on him. And that has to be a conscious effort on my part.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Like whatever, in our marriages, in our workplaces, just in our own walks, and we can't have joy based on any circumstances. It really is just based on the Lord. And as you were talking, I was thinking about, the Lord is so patient with us. I don't have it all figured out either. And you talked about that earlier, how we have to ask for forgiveness and mercy and grace and, walking that out and living out that example with our children. But just as God has been patient with us, we are supposed to then be patient with our children. And then I was also thinking, as you were talking about the verse in Proverbs about train your child up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. It doesn't mean they're going to get it all right. I mean, I didn't get it all right when I was a teenager. I'm still not getting it all right. And so I
Exactly.
think just like with that kind of mindset, it's like, okay, they're doing their best that they can. We are sinful human beings. Do you have anything to say on that verse in Proverbs?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've ever thought about it from that perspective of the when they're old, because yes, I am still learning, and I am still, oh man, I am messing it up. And I'm constantly telling my oldest son, because he just started driving. That's big, that's
That's huge.
scary.
Yeah.
And we, you know, he gets behind the wheel, and all of a sudden he's gone, and we have the life 360, and we're seeing where he is, and we're like, oh, okay, so he's over there. He comes home, and we're like, all right, so we didn't think about this as much, but we're gonna put these boundaries on, like, you can drive within this radius. And then, you know, we a couple weeks go by, and then he takes a little bit longer to come home from cross country, and we're like, okay, so what took you so long? He's like, well, oh, well, I had to bring this person home and this person home and this person and this person, all within that radius. But now we're like, okay, we didn't think about the people that would be joining you in the car. So let's limit it to your guy friends so that you're not alone in a car with a girl right now. And also let's limit that to, let's just start with one passenger for now, instead of a whole car full that's loud, distracting. Let's start with one. And he got really frustrated with us, and he was like, what's even the point of having a car? And that was his teenage reaction, right? And my husband and I, we had to sit down with him. We're like, we are so sorry. We should have set these boundaries beforehand, but we're learning what boundaries need to be set. And unfortunately, you're the guinea pig. So we're gonna have to set those boundaries. It's the same thing about baby-proofing your house. You don't realize what they can get into until they start getting into it, and then you're like, right, that also needs a lock, and that needs a lock. You know, you don't realize the trash can and the toilet lid also need locks until your kid is digging in them. And so it's the same thing with our kids. So we're learning that. I think I kind of took a really roundabout way of getting back to the proverb. So these weren't bad things that he was doing, but we know from wisdom what that can lead to. And we had to kind of, as we're backtracking, as we're setting stronger parameters for him and rules and expectations, as we're strengthening those for him, we know that we're setting him up for long-term safety and health. He does not see that right now. And so that's part of the training process. And sometimes we do have to backtrack, and sometimes we have to reinforce in areas that we had not had those reinforcements before. And that's, fortunately, God has given us that wisdom. We can trust that within us But there are some things where he's like, all right, you didn't cover this little corner of town that, crosses a busy intersection or things like that. So we're having to discover that along the way. And unfortunately for my teenager, my 16-year-old, he's the guinea pig. He feels it. He feels like, okay, like why are y'all pulling back the reins here? We're having to teach him, like, because that wasn't the best choice, but you're not going to have that wisdom yet. And so to prevent that from happening, and yeah, we're going to loosen that a little bit as we go along, but right now it needs to be a little bit tighter, just a little bit.
So I have a almost 15-year-old, so I'm learning through you too. You as my guinea pig too. So thank you for all of that. And then it makes me think of Rachel Ramsey Cruz and her dad, Dave Ramsey. I saw them speak at a conference, and he gave this example of how he, when as a parent, we have a rope that we've kind of tied to our children, and as they make good choices, we're able to extend the rope, and as they maybe make a poor choice, then we pull that rope back in. Yes, and retract that. And so the more good choices they make, the more rope and the more freedom that they have. But then what was so beautiful was that on her wedding day, Dave Ramsey gave her the rope. Like, I trust you. You've done everything that. And like, you're on your own, so kind of thing. But I think so much of it makes me even think about the Lord and the boundaries that the Lord sets for us. And like, it's for our good. And so just as we continue to make good choices, of course, we always want to stay tethered to the Lord, but and always connected with Him. But I just love the thought of that as parents.
Well, and if you think about that, that's the Old Testament, right? That rope that he's giving the Israelites and his people, like that is the Old Testament. These are the boundaries. This is the scope in which I have asked of you, and this is how you show obedience to me. And they screwed up a lot over and over and over again. And so yeah, I think that this is I. There's so much of parenthood that is a parallel to our relationship to God, to his relationship to his people in both Old Testament and New Testament. I mean, it really is. We cannot even begin to remotely grasp God's love without that love that we feel for our children. That's such a, it's already a much bigger than we can ever fathom. And yet he gifts us with this. Here's a little taste of what this is and your relationship with your child.
Yeah, him is our father, and us as his daughters. So, I want to talk about, and we've kind of all been building to this, I suppose. I should have mentioned it at the very beginning, but you've actually written a book called Her Children Arise, and it's based on Proverbs 31:28 that reads, "Her children arise and call her blessed," which, gosh, isn't that our prayer? So, what does this verse mean to you, and how do we apply it to our lives?
So her children arise and call her blessed to me is when our children rise up to know where those blessings that have been our like our mother's blessings, our blessings that we have received, where they have come from. That's our kids growing to know God. My mom is blessed. My mother is blessed. Through God. God has gifted her. God has blessed her. So the arise part and the he our children arise and call her blessed. That's them knowing who God is and who he is in relationship to their mom, knowing their mom's relationship with him. And so that's for me, that has just been kind of my hope and my dream and my prayers for my children that they would rise up to see and know God, to grow in Him, to see who He is in my own life and the importance that I have placed Him, that I have elevated to Him in my own life, where He falls in my life. And that's what Proverbs 31:28 means to me. And I've written the book, Her Children Arise, Passing a Legacy of Faith to the next generation. And really, it is about the whole book is connecting the stories of moms of faith from the Bible to the modern day mom. And so instead of us piling our nightstands with what to expect when you're expecting in the first year and the second year and all of these things, but really it is digging into God's word, knowing Him. And look, here is a beautiful example of motherhood from this hero of faith who is a mom. And so I dig really deeply into the stories of these biblical moms because I think that we can learn a lot from them. We can glean so much from them. Sometimes we have a hard time looking at the next generation and going to them, but we really need to seek their wisdom. And that's from biblical moms, that's from Titus 2 women. Like these are women who have been there. They've walked through the hard stuff. They have both spiritually and physically, here emotionally, and we can glean so much from them, right?
And I think, like, what if they hadn't? What if they hadn't passed down their faith? Like, would we even be talking about the Lord today? So there really is so much at stake. And just thinking fast forward, if we don't pass down our faith to the next generation, does it end with us? And goodness, that would be unimaginable. And so we do have so much to learn from them and how they did it. So I'd love to hear, do you have a favorite biblical mother or just an example that you'd like to share today?
Okay, so I'm personally super, oh my gosh, it's really hard for me to pick a favorite. I wrote about eight different ones in my book. I think I was most excited to learn more about Moses's mom, Jochebed. And because we don't even know her name till like later on in Exodus, she's the first couple chapters of Exodus. She's not, her name is not even in there, but I cannot imagine putting my child in the Nile River. I'm blown away when I think about her story and think about that all of the babies at that time were being killed. And here she is, she sees that her child is extraordinary. It's like her faith was so strong that God had a purpose for her child and was not dictated by the current culture or the current government and what was. She had so much faith about what God had in store for her child that she put him in the biggest river in the world. And I've lived close to the Mississippi River my entire life, like the mouth of it. Not up north. I'm in Louisiana, so like the big part, the part that you would not stick a baby in. And so like that just blows my mind. But let's look at the modern day mom right now, because how often are we putting our own children in the Nile River every day when we're sending them off to drive, or we're sending them to school, or they're on their first date, which we've experienced recently. Like these are things that we are having to then let go of that rope a little bit more, a little bit more. That's a Nile River moment for us. And we have a lot of those. And so it takes faith to be able, not faith in our children, because they are going to constantly fail us there. They do not have the moral compass to make good choices. And yes, we can teach them a lot, but they're also going to stumble and fall and find their own way and learn, oh yeah, that's why my mom told me not to do that. When a child jumps off the sofa and lands and hurts themselves, that's why we're not allowed to jump off the sofa. And they're not going to really truly believe that if we just tell them not to do it. But when they experience it, then they're going to learn from it a little bit better. But I think for us, this passing this legacy of faith down, it's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of prayer. It is praying over them, letting loose the rope a little bit, having those Nile River moments. And you see how God abundantly blessed her by giving her more time with her son. And in that short amount of time, she is pouring her faith into her child, because he was really raised in a culture that was very different from his own in the palace. And like he was not raised with his own people. And so that extended time that God gave him with his mother as she nursed him, that was her pouring her culture, her faith, God's word into him. And she didn't have the written word of God in front of her. And the Ten Commandments had not happened yet. Like this is pre any of that. And so this is she had to instill that into him, and she didn't have much time to do it. And God gifted her with that time. So I think we can pray for that time, like pray for those moments, specifically pray, all right, God, give me this opportunity to pour into you, into our kids. What do you, I'm constantly praying, all right, God, like you have to lead my tongue right now. Because I don't trust myself to do this. So you lead how I'm gonna guide my child in this instant, or discipline my child, or speak to them. Because if I'm left to my own accord, I'm not gonna do it right for sure. But God's gonna lead that. He's gonna bless that.
That is
Yeah,
such a
Jonathan.
beautiful example, and I think I'll always remember that about the Nile. Like, well, that it does so feel that way, especially as our
Yeah.
kids get older and older, and we're letting go and letting God, trusting God, to
But I
take care
think
of them.
each story, even the ones that I didn't write about, there's all the different moms have something very special to give. There's so many of them in the Bible that have something special to give. We're not going to truly understand that unless we dig in, and we're not going to truly see their faith. But I think that that's where we're going to get the most understanding of what it looks like to have a faith-filled, Christ-centered home. Is through these biblical moms that were doing really hard things, and not much has changed. Not much has changed. Our faith is going to be the that part. Our spiritual walks have not changed in that time, and so we can have cars now. We can have technology. We can have social media that we're having to navigate, and we can have all those things. Those things are different, but the heart has not changed. And so, and God has not changed either. And so we're able to, I think I've learned so much from each of these moms. So yeah, you made me pick a favorite. You asked me tomorrow, and I might pick Hagar. I love them all so much, and I've learned so much. I think for me, writing this book was the biggest faith exploration that I've ever done, where I was able to really connect with each of these ancestors of ours who have just their stories are forever written in God's word, and ours are too. In between the lines of all of scripture, ours are too. And I really find this, I get this thrill when I'm reading the genealogies, because there aren't many women listed in the genealogies, but there are some. But there is a wife and a mother in between each of those lines that is pouring their faith into their child and had a major role in that for their children.
Well, yeah, our good decisions and our bad decisions, you know, I mean, it sets the trajectory, it changes history. And so it really is so important. So I love that you're so passionate about taking mothers on a journey to fall in love or back in love with God and His Word, and then to pass that on to our children. So I'd love to hear what's something you are loving right now. That's a question I've been asking all of my guests this season.
What am I loving right now? I'm loving conversations. With my kids. I'm loving conversations because they talk like adults and they're witty and they're humorous and they have a lot of big questions, and we're able to have dig deep into those questions. And I'm just loving that. I think those are all a gift. I'm treasuring those times up with each of my kids. And because not everything is sunshine and rainbows. Many days are not. I'm a working mom. I'm a teacher. I'm exhausted by the end of the day. there's not a lot of time. So those moments where we get to just sit down after practice and they're not crashing right after practice and I'm not crashing right after work, or those are a gift and a blessing, and I'm loving those right now. And we play a lot of board games. I'm loving the board games, and they are hilarious. The kids are hilarious. And that's just so joyful to hear their laughter. And that's what I'm loving.
We just went on a Christmas vacation, and honestly, my husband and I, we're like, this might have been our very favorite vacation, just because, like you were saying, like we could sit around a dinner table at a restaurant for hours and just have great conversation with our kids and really enjoy it and laugh and I don't know. It's so I'm in that same space too. So I would agree with you. So is there a biblical concept of love that speaks to your heart most that you would want to encourage us with today based on our conversation as we come to a close?
Yeah, so I've been exploring, and this is coming from an old Bible reading plan that I had put together, but I'm digging in a lot deeper and working on a little mini project right now. But it's the love is verses from 1 Corinthians 13. And so I'm a teacher. I teach third through fifth graders. I'm a speech communications teacher, so I'm one of the specialist teachers, like in the art, music, PE rotation, and I get to teach about character and interpersonal communication, public speaking, and performance. And anyway, so I'm as a teacher, it's not enough for me to say what the rules are. I have to also tell them what not to do. So it's like this, it's not enough for me to say, okay, I need you to sit on the carpet. I also have to say, you cannot lie down. You cannot roll around on the carpet. You cannot touch other people with your feet, but you can sit like this and this and this. This is what is allowed. This is what's not allowed. And we do the same thing with our kids, because we realize just by saying, you need to do this, or you can do this, you are allowed to do this, they're gonna find all the caveats. They're gonna find all the also, well, she didn't say not to do this. But Paul is giving us this beautiful picture of what love is and what love is not. So, and I love that, because we need that, obviously, because here we have God gave us the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus came, well, this is also not like, and this is. And so Jesus did that as well, where he's like, he had to further direct what is of God and what is not of God. And Paul does this in regard specifically to love. But what I have done is I've gone through and taken out all of those different attributes and discovered through the New Testament what is spe discovering through the Gospels specifically, where Jesus showed this, where he lived this out. So love is patient. And I think about all the different times where he's with the disciples and they mess up. And Jesus patiently teaches them. But if for me, if I were in Jesus's shoes, I'd be like, Peter, look, I have told you this and taught you this over and over and over again. I would have gotten so frustrated by this point, but I feel like Jesus just lovingly directs them and guides them in such a precious and loving way. And so that's what I've been exploring first for myself, and then working on a little project to be able to do that as well, to teach others. All right, how did Jesus demonstrate each of these things that Paul laid out? Because he's not just telling us to do this, like Jesus did all this. So what are the moments in the Bible that we see from that? So that's how I'm discovering love right now, and that's where I'm digging and doing a deep dive.
It's interesting you said it. So I actually have been doing a deep dive into the same thing. So we'll have to chat about that
Absolutely.
afterwards. But I so we are kindred spirits for sure, with a heart hopefully to please the Lord and to grow up the next generation. And so I would love for you just to pray for us as moms, just doing the best we can to live out our faith in the way that pleases the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much, one, for the gifts and the joy that you bring us every day. May we always see that reflection in the love for our children, Lord Jesus. As we grow to know you more, let our children be our testimonies and witnesses of our faith. Let that plant a seed within their hearts, Lord Jesus, so that they will grow to know you, to desire you, and to want to live and know you more. And help us to have the guiding words, the guiding hearts to create the atmosphere of your dwelling place within our homes, Lord Jesus. May our kids grow to know and love you. That's our greatest prayer. Let them always look to you, Lord God. And as they stumble and as they fall, teach them your ways, teach them your heart, and let them know that we are there for them, and that allow them to come to us for wisdom, for love, for comfort, and let us be a reflection of that from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Casey, thank you so much for today. I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. So tell us how we can best do that.
Yeah, so my website is www.caseyhilty.com, Instagram at Casey Hilty, Facebook at Casey Hilty One. Those are the best ways to stay connected. I do have an email for my subscribers and a freebies link to all of my subscribers that has devotionals. And I know I talked about how little doing devotions with our kids are crazy and stuff, but my book does have 20 of those, and they're just little freebie. It doesn't cost any money, but these are just little ways that you can pour faith into your kids. And I have a lot of those, a collection of stuff like that on my website as well. So that's the best way, website and socials.
Well, today's conversation has encouraged me. Thank you for going before me and helping me in my parenting journey. And I just know and trust that this conversation will be uplifting and encouraging to all those moms out there. And honestly, not even just, I'm just want to be mindful as we close. And I maybe should have mentioned this at the beginning. We can be spiritual mothers to so many people. It's not just about the children that we that have come from our bodies, but there are people younger than us that we can mentor and spiritually mother in so many ways. Do you have anything to say on that as we close?
Yeah, I've actually been surprised with the number of people who have read my book and connected with my book who aren't mothers or who are grandmothers and well past the child raising years, or people that youth leaders that even ones that don't have kids yet that are connecting with it. That kind of surprised me. But they're still gleaning a lot from it, which has been really cool to see and to hear from so many testimonies of these different people who are pouring into kids. So I think that's wonderful. And we have this spiritual obligation to be able to pour into so many different people. And if you are a mom and you have other people that you are pouring into, your kids are witnesses of that as well. They're seeing what you're giving, how you're serving, how you're leading, and that's pretty powerful for them to experience.
Yeah. And I'm even thinking of you as a teacher. I mean, gosh, you're helping raise all kinds of children. And so I think
I
that's really
have
beautiful.
900 extra kids. I teach all 900 at our school. So yes, that's pretty cool too. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, Casey, thank you so much for today. God bless you.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Casey Hilty. We hope that today encouraged you to pass on a legacy of faith to the next generation. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on RachelKAdams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the Mother's Day Devotional. This is a compilation of 22 other writers who have all focused on biblical mothers, and you're just going to be able to learn so much biblical wisdom from women past and present. I can't wait to share that resource with you for free at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Tara Du. Tara is on the show talking about overflowing joy. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love.